Welcome to the Advisory Accelerator Podcast, designed to help CPAs who serve clients interested in non-traditional services. If you're a public accountant looking to drive more value into existing client relationships, then tune in for tips on accelerating your advisory service offerings. Now, here's your host, Jeff Paulo.
On this edition of the Advisory Accelerator Podcast, we connect with Benny Wright, the president of Victory Claims Consulting, to discuss how his firm partners with CPA firms to help their clients overcome the impacts of a disaster and to maximize their insurance reimbursements. The need for this expertise is becoming more immediate with the recent increase in severe weather events, and chances are either you or a client will have a need to navigate this type of crisis. When disaster strikes, your clients will turn to you to help navigate all the complexities related to the event, and Benny can partner with you to ensure you can assist like a pro. Take a listen and learn what it takes to accelerate your advisory practice. Well, hello again, everybody. This is Jeff Paulo, and I'm the president of the Engineered Advisory family of companies and your host for the Advisory Accelerator Podcast, a show that really works to help CPAs become more advisory-minded in their practices. On today's show, I'm happy to welcome Benny Wright. He's the president of Victory Claims Consulting. He hails from Southeast Florida, and when he isn't leading Victory Claims, he somehow manages to find the time to not only be a dad, but to also race on the professional BMX bike circuit. I had the chance to meet him at our recently completed HABU Accelerator Conference in Dallas, and I'm excited to have the chance to spend more time with him today. Benny, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jeff. I appreciate it. And following your mention of the show last week, you did a great job, and the entire team on the ground did a great job. So thank you to all of you involved in putting that together. That was a fantastic event.
Thanks so much. We had a good time in Dallas, and I was really pleased to see all the CPAs take away so much valuable information in terms of how they can be more advisory-minded in their practice. And you were a big part of that. Before we jump into Victory Claims, okay, I got to ask, you race BMX professionally. Tell me a little bit about that. That's very unique.
So long story short, I was introduced to that sport at 10 years old, and I've always just loved anything bike related, anything race related, and got into the sport, tried every other sport, but always came back to BMX, and turned professional as soon as I graduated college and started a coaching program at one point designed to target new riders coming into the sport that were kind of overwhelmed with all the semantics of the sport and not necessarily understanding all of it, and tried to kind of get them to crawl before they walk in the sport and try to change the retention of the rider membership around a little bit in the years to follow. But I've loved it forever. I was racing professionally up until my kids were born, and I kind of took a little bit of a hiatus just for training purposes, tying up a lot of time and obviously wanting to put family first. And so then the shutdown happened in 2020 and Victory got started as I was sort of there. So it seems like there's a little snowball effect of the hiatus extending, but I'm hoping here sooner than later I can reengage all things BMX related. So I'll keep you informed as it comes about. So
this is more than a hobby for you. I know you're a state, a regional, and even a national champion. It looks like you qualified for Team USA 5 different times, and you were the rider of the year in 2008. So you clearly know what you're doing.
I'd like to think so, but yeah, humbly, thank you. But yeah, it's been a great journey and on the sport. I've visited places I never would have any other way. I've met people I never would have any other way. A lot of the friends I have today were born out of that sport, and a lot of them I kind of consider extended family. So I mean, we even the friends of mine that now have kids as well, we're all aunts and uncles to each other's kids, and none of us share any bloodline. We just share a BMX line of how we came about together. So yeah, I mean, I could give an entire podcast on the benefits and awesomeness of BMX in general, but we'd be here all day.
I'm guessing your kids may ride before they walk. Is that true?
Absolutely. Yeah. My daughter's been cruising at 2 years old, and it's funny watching some of the other parents get a little shell shocked at their 4, 5, 6, and 7 year olds kind of trying to keep up, So it's been fun.
All right. Well, let's jump in. And again, Benny is the president of Victory Claims Consulting. And he partners with many of the CPA firms that we have a relationship with in a very specialized area. But let me start by asking the question. So I'm the client of one of our CPA firms, perhaps personally, but my business has been impacted by some kind of natural disaster. Maybe it's an earthquake, maybe it's a hurricane, maybe it's a flood, maybe it's a fire. I can only imagine that life has to be nothing but chaos at that point. You're trying to maintain the business. You're trying to rebuild anything that's been lost from a personal standpoint. You got a lot going on in the aftermath. Help me understand, why on earth would I bring somebody else into the equation? I've already got insurance. I'm already working with my agent. What value do you kind of add to the equation at that point, and why should I make you part of my team?
So, trying to simplify it, you know, insurance is really not relevant until it's relevant. I mean, we all prepare for it, and, but we can't necessarily plan for it. And I say that specifically in the sense that, you know, we try to insure our properties properly, think that we've got more than enough coverage. We schedule certain things that are of extra importance. You know, we get endorsements if we're in certain areas or we have, you know, a certain type of property or a certain type of business we want to cover. But planning for the severity of damage is kind of a wild card. You know, we haven't had a major hurricane hit the East Coast since, Wilma, back in 2006, or you even go back to Andrew in the 90s. But, you know, other parts of the country are affected a little differently from mass catastrophe type situations. Excuse me. But when you get into that type of situation, the agent that you're dealing with or the broker you're dealing with, their job's already done. So they are not an adjuster, but they're a business development, if you will. They're the ones that are addressing the property and putting together that proper policy to make sure you have the coverages in place. And I always, kind of tell folks, if, the policy is kind of like the Bible. If it's not in there, it's not happening. And so you got to make sure that policy is built properly. So when disaster does strike, you've got more than enough coverages there ready to go. Now, the actuality kind of operational side of filing insurance claim, carrier is going to send out their representative to represent their interest in your claim. You know, and unfortunately, if they're unable to truly represent both sides of that aisle, and most people don't ever get explained that the policyholder responsibilities is for the insured to prove the actual loss. The onus is on you. You know, the insurance company will gladly send someone out and say, well, we'll prove it for you. But obviously, it's going to be from their standpoint. And I try to simplify that statement all the time by just saying, look, you wouldn't divorce your spouse using the same attorney as your spouse. And that's, in essence, what an insurance claim is without some sort of representation on your side. You're basically handing the keys to your castle over to somebody else that isn't really incentivized to see you whole again in what truly is your version of whole again. It's indemnity and it's an adjustment. And so they kind of leave it open to, best guess interpretation of who's standing there. And without somebody that's incentivized and licensed and truly fiduciary to you, the property owner, you're kind of, hope and a prayer, so to speak, and you could leave yourself really vulnerable to an incomplete, indemnity.
But, it's interesting because what we've heard from our CPA firm clients is they always get like the second or third call, hey, this has happened. I've called my agent. Now I'm calling my CPA. I've, numbers are involved. Can you help? And you make an excellent point, and I think it's one that people aren't necessarily cognizant of, is that after a loss has occurred, you are in a little bit of an adversarial position with your carrier. And I think the default position would be, hey, they're going to send somebody out, they're going to take care of me, they're going to look out for my best interests. But ultimately, what they're being asked to do is make good on the policy that is in place. And if you leave that interpretation up to them, maybe that isn't going to be as generous as it might be if you use a third party such as yourself. And so if I'm a CPA, I think maybe the first thing that I'm saying is, hey, that's great, but let's get somebody else in here that's going to represent you, somebody that's going to have a fiduciary interest in you as a client to make sure you get what you're entitled to.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, think about even like a realtor is kind of the same mentality as I would apply to the CPA, is that, realtors, they love being the arbiters of all things expertise. And so even when you simply just buy your house, a lot of times people lean on the realtor to find out who provides the best services that you may need just to operate your home. cleaning services, bug, pest control. I mean, just simple things like that. Same idea. You know, if I have a good relationship with my trusted CPA and he's connected in, or he or she's connected into this network of experts, I'm calling them immediately and say, who do you trust? Who do you know? I need somebody for this and this right now.
You know, it's interesting. One of the things that you mentioned at the conference that I thought was interesting is that if you engage a public adjuster, typically their results are somewhere between 2 and 5 times more than if you just went with the adjuster provided by the insurance company. That seems like a huge variable. I mean, that was staggering to me.
It is. And in reality, because we're success-based in how we operate as far as fiduciary duty and how we're incentivized in our contract agreement and how we're paid, everything is on a percentage. And so obviously we want to maximize as much as we can, and we want to do it as quickly as we can for multitude of reasons, but no more reason than trying to get the insured back in business and made whole again as quickly as possible. But you know, the big thing that you run into is the carriers have adjusters that are fed claims that are called into that carrier. And so they don't get to necessarily say, no, we don't want to handle these claims. They get told, here's your list of claims to go address. Figure out how to do it in the time that you need to do it. And so they're looking at hundreds, if not thousands, of claims throughout the year, whereas a public adjuster is only going to take on what they can handle because of the dynamic that they need to provide. And so they're not going to spread themselves too thin. And so most of the time, a lot of these bigger jobs that you'll see after a major storm or, like the freeze in Dallas or a hurricane, we've run into these adjusters at the high level for a long time. And a lot of them will see us and say, you know what, we know you guys are not going to balloon this into something that's not. I have a stack this high on my desk. This is just one less I have to worry about. You guys do it. Send it in to me. I'll grade your paper and I'll go handle the rest. And so sometimes it's not as adversarial as it comes across on the front end. It's almost a benefit to everybody involved because the adjuster's getting paid to close the claim one way or the other, whether it's $1 or $1 million, might as well let someone do it trusted and still get paid for his time and overseeing, the carrier's side of, their responsibilities to it. So
talk to me a little bit about the process, because I'm guessing most of the people listening to this podcast, have not been through a disaster recovery. And so I'm one of the CPA firm's clients. Some kind of disaster has happened. My business has taken a hit. We've decided that we're going to engage you to help us with the recovery process. What happens next?
So the first thing we would need to do is speak to the actual named insured. And so it'd be the client of the CPA that had the damage sustained in some fashion. Depending on where that's in the country, it would kind of dictate, mobilization. But we need to see the property, we need to see the policy, and we need to see the damages that have taken place. And so typically we would get a member of our team on site, within 24 to 48 hours, depending on where they are in the country. If it was something that was logistically a problem, we could work with a partner firm from a different port, different region of the country that could get on the ground very quickly before we could actually get there. And then obviously we'll want to talk to the insured and find out exactly what's going on, but we really want to build a client profile for them on what exactly they're looking to accomplish in this. Is it just to get back in business? Is it just to rebuild the building? Sometimes folks see the damage and it's on an older building or a business they were getting ready to sell, and they just say, hey, look, we want to maximize the claim and then we want to sell it as it. And so that kind of changes our strategy a little bit. And so that's why we want to have those detailed conversations on the front end so we can kind of create that crystal ball that they're expecting to see in the coming months that the claim's going to take place.
And my guess is you're oftentimes working with the CPA to help quantify any damages from loss of work or being able to unable to function as a business. Tell me a little bit about that relationship.
Yeah, so we work with CPAs or forensic accountants pretty regularly because commercial properties or even portfolios of single family homes that we've seen in the past, but most of the time in retail space or multifamily complexes, if there's a major damage sustained to that property, there's a significant loss of revenue. And that turns into a multitude of things depending on the type of business. But years ago we did a car wash, and the car wash once he reopened, he had to kind of regain some of those customers that he lost during the downtime. And what he did is he put together kind of a coupon situation on Groupon where it was a buy one, get one, you know, come back in, monthly services rendered, that kind of thing, that were all offered at a discount. And the policy was paying the loss in the discount that he was taking. But in the end, he was regaining those customers back. And so that becomes very much a spreadsheet heavy mathematical equation that the CPAs and the forensic accountants are much more handled to do, but the policy typically pays for their expertise. And because of the proper statement of loss, it needs to be prepared in that those type of expertise is an actual billable quantity that can be paid by the policy. And so if the CPA is handling those as a out of good grace, there's a little, you know, as just a regular portfolio management, when you apply a claim to it, if it's not billed or invoiced properly, there may be some costs that are lost to the actual CPA firm as well. And so that's something else that we'll oversee and make sure it's paid properly and make sure those two entities, as far as what the CPA is handling, you know, the normal day-to-day management and obviously the severity of a claim, we can kind of compartmentalize those two payment structures and make sure that the CPA is paid properly as well.
So just in that little segment, it becomes incredibly apparent that you need to get experts involved in this and not just rely on kind of the insurance agent to handle it. The amount of technical knowledge that you just exhibited there was staggering. Let me ask you this. You've got an office in Southeast Florida. You've got an office in Dallas, Texas. Let's say I'm a CPA firm up in Holland, Michigan, and I met you at the conference. I've got a client that's been impacted by a disaster. How do I work with you? Are you referring me to somebody that you're in a network with? Like, what's the mechanics for getting me help in my local market?
So first off, I was born in Michigan and I've been a big Go Blue fan my whole life. So I don't mean to offend any Spartans, but Go Blue. But nonetheless, you know, public adjusters in the country, there is a national association called NAPIA. And it is the National Association of Public Insurance Adjusters. And it's a peer-reviewed membership allowance that holds all of public adjusters to a kind of an educational and an ethical standard above the rest. And I'm very proud to be accepted into that association and be a part of it. It's similar to like if an attorney wants to work across state lines where they themselves are not licensed, they can partner with a licensed entity within the state and still service the client under another license. So similar with NAPIA, we've got relationships all over the country just for that purpose. And so we can day to day, we can focus on the states that we carry the license in. And then if for some reason, like you said, somebody has an issue in Michigan and we're not licensed in Michigan, we can work with a partner firm there and still service the client, still be the point of contact. But on the ground, we would work with a partner firm within that NAPIA organization.
Okay. And then talk to me a little bit about just bandwidth. So for example, if I'm a business owner in Dallas and I have some kind of an electrical problem and I lose my building to fire, that's a one-off and you come in and you do your job. But if I'm in Houston and a hurricane hits, or I'm in California and the fire takes out, you know, an entire community, are you able to ramp up quickly enough to support as many clients that would need the help in a situation like that?
Yes. And short answer is NAPIA would provide us that support as well. So we've got a fairly large bandwidth within our small, relatively small firm. But if we got into something where we were looking at hundreds or thousands of individual properties that were impacted, we could certainly pull in a significant amount of reinforcement technical support that could properly address all of those. And we wouldn't certainly commit to that unless we knew we could handle it. And a lot of that foundational relationship and understanding is already in place. So if we got hit in different areas of the country, we would have more or less different teams, you know, mobilized, ready to go.
Got it. Once again, we're talking with Benny Wright. He's the president of Victory Claims Consulting. They are a public adjuster that helps clients who have been impacted by some kind of a disaster maximize what is due to them under their existing insurance policies. And we're having a fantastic conversation about some of the mechanics that go into all of that. Benny, talk a little bit. I'm a client and I've engaged you. Talk a little bit about how you earn your fee. I think you mentioned earlier that it is kind of a percentage basis. Like, how do the economics of working with you play out?
Yeah, so the simplest answer is typically it's a percentage retainer on what we settle the claim for. And so different states have different parameters on what exactly that looks like. Louisiana, for instance, is an hourly basis, and we try to structure that a little more favorable. But most states, it's capped at 10%. Some states are 15, some are 20, but kind of our running average, if you will, is 10% of what we settle the claim for is the max that we're allowed to charge on those particular claims. And so it's basically, if I'm handing you a check at the end of the day, when we get to a portion of the claim that is settled, you'll see an invoice for the percentage that we're retained for at that time. And so it's no money up front. There's no money throughout. I can't even charge you sales tax. So it's a real simple math equation. We hand you a check for X amount. We have a percentage of that that's owed us at that time, and we keep fighting on to the rest of the claim until you tell us you've had enough and time to move on.
And again, if what we would expect based on historical patterns is that a public adjuster is going to do somewhere between 2 and 5 times more than the property damage consultant from the insurance carrier would provide, this is a no-brainer. I mean, you're paying a percentage of things that are going to be found over and above what you could get yourself, which sounds like, you know, the first thing that I'd want to sign up for once some kind of disaster's happened.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. I mean, you're looking at, you know, like I said before about the, you know, you asked about the bandwidth, you know, go to the bandwidth of the insurance carriers. You know, these major events happen where it's not a one-off, it's a zip code, a county, a region. They just don't have the bandwidth to properly address the claims. And it doesn't make them bad at what they're doing or nefarious actors. It's just the fact that there is only so many hours in the day and so many properties have to be seen. And so when we come in, it's a fine-tooth comb applied to every bit of that policy. And, you know, some of these commercial properties are several hundreds of pages. And, you know, I don't mean to offend anybody, but most people don't ever read them. Most of them will put some things in the front of the policy and take it out in the back. And it's unclear on how to go about getting it covered in between if you're not an expert in it. So it gets very confusing, very stressful, very quickly. And obviously that, you know, that's kind of where we excel, is in that chaos and kind of putting it at a calm and maximizing what's available to you.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, if I was a CPA and my client was calling and a disaster had happened, just my ability to provide comfort and advice and consultation right off the bat is something that I'd want to have in place. So I encourage you to reach out to Benny. Again, Victory Claims Consulting. They've got offices in Texas and in Florida. They're also licensed directly in North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Oklahoma, and Tennessee. And then through their relationship with NAPIA, can serve clients nationwide. So Benny, thanks for taking some time today to be with us. I hope to see you again next year at the second Advisory Accelerator Conference. It's going to be bigger and better than the great time that we had in Dallas. We appreciate you attending that, and we also appreciate you spending time with us here today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jeff. And again, thank you for such a great show and a great network you guys have put together. We're very proud to be a part of it and look forward to servicing and everybody as needed. So thank you again.
You bet. And there we have it, another episode focused on helping our CPA listeners accelerate their firm's advisory practice. The Advisory Accelerator podcast is sponsored by the Engineered Advisory family of companies, Engineered Tax Services, The Growth Partnership, Able CRM, and Inside Public Accounting. Learn more about how we help CPAs accelerate their advisory practices at engineeredadvisory.com. Until next time, this is Jeff Paulo signing off and wishing you nothing but success as you transition your firm from compliance to advisory.